Welcome to Fashion Utopia, the only podcast that combines fashion, art, and psychology to help people attain self-actualization. Do you know that what you wear speaks volumes, serves as a representation of who you are as a person? Is it helping or hurting you? In this podcast, we approach all those questions and more with cutting-edge experts in the industry. I am your host, Kelly Dell, fashion journalist, founder, and image consultant at IMA Image Consultant. Welcome. In this week's episode, we analyzed fashion across the globe, the multidimensional influences of fashion of diverse cultures on the United States of America, Part 1. Fashion Across the Globe is a six-part series episode whose primary focus is to address how fashion immigrated to the United States of America, basically the origin of what we wear today, which also make us feel fabulous. In this first part, we address the ginormous elephant in the room. Wait a minute. No. Not what you're thinking right now, I know. I mean, we will focus on the traditional attire of the Native Americans. I hope you walk away learning something valuable, you know, like a valuable information about the clothing culture and how to avoid dressing offensively. Because trust me, you don't want to upset people by ignorantly dressing offensively. Darling, wearing those indigenous leggings as yoga pants? No. Or wearing that wool suit as a gym vest? Man, no, that's not cool. Well, let's face it, you know, the United States of America is the most diverse country in the whole world with high social economy and political power. People from all walks of life, ethnicity, culture, you know, etc. Many people will do anything to leave their own country and immigrate to the United States to dwell here. But, well, let's not just stop there. And to be more realistic, you know, clothing is a big part of our life in North America. Whether we like it or not, you know, when we dress the way we feel and, you know, the perception others have, you know, on us, where they see us, really, if you don't want to, like, look at it this way, but it does count, you know? Realistically speaking, clothing is a big part of our life in North America, but it's all emanated, you know, from somewhere. Today, when we talk about the clothing culture of Americans, we could, you know, talk about a lot of things. I mean, darling, a lot of things. We can end up imagining anything from the yoga pants, gym clothes, sneakers that we wear, business suits, gowns, denim jeans, a lot of things to talk about. Clothing in North America today is diverse and varied depending on the climate and the needs of the wearer. However, this tradition traverses way exceeding modern times. It's a lot. So, you know, a lot of people don't really pay detailed attention to this, but yes, clothing really has changed the way we feel, our perception towards things. And you know what? I cannot start this conversation without giving honor to whom honor is due. I know this conversation might be sensitive to some people. Still, before you whack my head, or before you chop off my tail, or before you slit my throat, however I want to put it, you know, to just be direct, before you dug my grave for me, we cannot talk about the history of the United States of America without acknowledging the role of the Native American Indians. I will not be talking a lot about the history of the natives, you know, the whole culture. No, I am just going to go straight to the point. I'll talk about, you know, the clothes. I'll talk about the accessories. I'll talk about what the men wear. I'll talk about what the women wear and, you know, how they feel when they wear a particular cloth. So I will not be dwelling on the history of the natives, okay? However, I will extract the uniqueness of their clothing culture and how it relates to our modern day America. Okay, let's begin this journey with Native American Indians' unique clothing style. From my research, and you know, because I was recently at the National Museum of American Indians, Washington, D.C. So from what I learned is the indigenous people called the Native Americans have unique clothing style that tailored to their respective cultures. That is so fascinating. And you know, when I heard that, I was like, wow, this is so interesting. And from what I saw, most notably, the men wore breeched clothes, which is like a simple short, and moccasin, which is like a leather shoes. Also, the men wore short kilt. I was like, okay, wow, I didn't know Native Americans wore kilt. So the men wore kilt, and also, you know, they wear something that kind of like look like skirts. So some even wore unique buckskin war shirts decorated with emmentals, hair, intricate quill work, and bead work. That is so interesting, and I fell in love with some of the, you know, fabric that I saw, you know, some of the species, the feathers and other, the way the hair is made. It's just unique and beautiful. Then talking about the way they contour their face, I said contour like makeup, but not necessarily makeup, but it's just like, you know, the tribal paintings on the face. I think it's just interesting, and I think it's a work of art. It's so cool. Well, that's not all. The women, you know, wore a little more, often covered by a full-length dress, skirts, leggings. Yes, that's right, you heard me right. Leggings, like just like the one you saw in the animation and the movie of Pocahontas, you know, wearing the dress that is like diamond shaped on the edge, and also with the leggings. So that is so cool. But also frequently wearing nothing more than a skirt. In winter months, people cover themselves in long-sleeved shirts, coats, and robes. In fall and winter, most tribes use cloak. It's called cloak, C-L-O-A-K-S, cloak, in other, in colder weather. But some of the northern tribes wore Inuit style fur parkas instead. Okay, so furthermore, right, then if we look at in areas that didn't have the climate for cotton, or which couldn't trade with settlements of the Southwest, other plant fibers were also like available. Nations of the Southeast use mulberry bark, those of the Northwest used redwood, and some in the plains used sagebrush. The bark was like peeled and pounded into like a soft fiber that was woven into leggings, dresses, jackets, and shirts. Some cultures, and notably those of the Southwest, also like spun plant fibers into sandals. And that is like really, really interesting, you know? I mean, sometimes I feel like I was there, you know, watching it, how they do it. For example, right? When I think of that, you know, the way they kind of like pound on this back skin to form all this leather, to form this jacket, I think back to my country, Nigeria, you know, how they make tie and dye adire, you know, ashoke. So it's like a traditional way of making, you know, like dyeing fabric and stuff to make it like so colorful, so beautiful. But well, so let me know, spill the tea, that will be something else. We'll talk about that, you know, on the later. They also came up with ubiquitous materials among Native Americans nations, which is like animal skin, particularly in the Great Plains, where plant fibers were scarce. Animal skins were worked into a soft suede-like material that was durable, warm, and long-lasting. The fabric was then sewn together using animal sinew and porcupine quill needles. Many Native Americans nation also learned to treat the leather to make it waterproof, which was essential for staying warm and dry. That same idea is also why many animal skin clothing articles are covered in fringe. The design helps pull water out of the fabric so it dries quickly. Well, I don't think there's anyone that would say, oh no, I have never seen fringe, or I don't have a fringe. You know, like when you buy some cardigans, throw over, like even pillows have fringes, which can be very beautiful. Dating back, there were many different traditional Native American clothing style in North America. Nearly every tribe had its own distinctive style of dressing, which is so cool, and the people could often tell each other identities by looking at their tribal clothes, headdresses, and ornamentation. You know, that they're like ornaments as well. So let me not forget this though, because I know I talked about the dresses. I'm not sure I mentioned this, that you know they make plant fibers into sandals, and I think that is so cool. That is super interesting, and you know, I just like wish I was there when the whole thing was done, the whole process, because to me I just find it like super fascinating. Well, okay, to my point, right? Clothing, you know, played a considerable role in the Native American culture. And up to today, so many people still utilize the accessories into their modern style. And, you know, to the indigenous people, clothing wasn't just for wearable art, you know, for day-to-day activities. Clothing was really personal. You know, clothing was really personal, and it was more like a tool for communication, most especially in your personal and community identities, because clothing is actually used to identify people of a particular tribe. You know, sometimes it could even be the headpiece. It's always distinctive, and it's what they actually use to tell each other apart. You know, that okay, this person belongs to this tribe, or this child, if their child is lost, belongs to this particular tribe, because it is very, very, very unique. Let's not forget, right? Since clothing kind of like served as a means of, you know, communication, most especially personal common identity, it also kind of, we can actually find it to be like a secret coded language, you know, or coping, or defense mechanism. You know, I mean, we all have defense mechanism, right? Like, for example, as a child, I used clothing a lot as my defense mechanism. Yes, that is it. You know, like I use clothing to like shield myself, you know, when I'm going through a lot, when I'm going through pain, when it's so painful that I cannot relate my message, or I cannot like share what is bothering me with people. I tend to like speak up with clothing, the kind of clothes I wear. So it's just like, you know, I could wear a shirt that maybe it's not sad, but I could just like design it, I could cut it the way that the shirt will look sad, that you might even force yourself to like ask me, hey, what's going on with you, you know, because like some people knew how I dress on campus in my first college, my second college, they all know that. So to me, it's like clothing really serves a lot, and it's really it's a very strong way of communication for me. So back to the Native American Indians, because this, it's not about me, it's about these wonderful people, and I cannot stop talking about them. Yes, I just want to be like friends with all of them immediately, you know, from what I've learned from the National Museum of American Indian in DC. You guys need to go check it out. It's amazing. It's It is great, you know, it's beautiful, and there's a whole lot to learn from there. So, and you know, so aside, you know, the copy mechanism, you know, it also connotes what tribe, you know, you're from, your family background. There's a whole lot more, you know, for the American Indians than just dressing up, because fashion really meant a lot, and fashion spoke volume to a whole lot of people. So, to crown this off, American Indians use the word regalia for traditional clothes, which are used for ceremonial occasions. Let's not forget, though, some Native people find the phrase Native Americans costume offensive. Yes, some people find the name Native American costume offensive. So it's just like, you know, for example, you meet a Native American or someone, and a Native American happens to be like around the corner, and you say, oh my God, is this your Native American costume? No, no, darling, don't do that. That is not good. That is not called for, because that is offensive, you know, because if you look at it this way, we are all immigrants in the United States of America, because we all came here, you know, from different cultures, from different countries. That's what makes this country very unique, and that's what makes this country a very diverse country. You know, now think of all the beautiful things that we bring, right? If you are wearing, for example, a kimono, you know, and you're wearing the kimono in an inappropriate way, yeah, you know, an Asian will be offended, you know what I mean? And if we are looking at it from the African perspective, I'm African, so yeah, even as for me, if I wear like a traditional, you know, headgear, like a king that is actually meant for a king, a royal headgear, I am offending some people, because it's like I am, like, you know, demoting the throne. It's like I am not even respecting the throne at all. So back to the Native American Indians. Yes, so if you say Native American costume, that can be offensive, and that is not good. I am sounding like alarm, 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 alarm. That is not good. You have to be mindful of what you wear and how you wear it. Okay. So my point, right, due to long association with hurtful red-faced Halloween costume, you know, that's one of the reasons why the word Native American costume is kind of offensive, you know, because of how people have kind of like, in Halloween, they'll paint your face like red and do the whole stuff. I must say this, it is offensive. And when I see people, you know, now I've made it like a part of me, I will kind of respectfully and in a diplomatic fashion let people know that, okay, so this is what you're doing, and sweetie, it is not cool, it is not appropriate at all. But however, people often appreciate it though when others correctly wear their traditional attire, and that is true, you know, because it's like when you know, as a Nigerian, if I see a white person, a Caucasian, wear my native attire correctly, I appreciate it a lot. To me, I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful, it's gorgeous, right? So that is the same feeling, because it's like everybody like it when you have a taste of their culture. Nobody is selfish with their culture, nobody is self-centered when it comes to culture, because culture is very important, you know. Culture is like very personal to a lot of people, but at the same time, you know, a lot of people want to learn about your culture, they want to know your culture, they want to know, you know, what kind of dress you wear and why you wear that dress, you know. They want to know like your whole native attire, they want to know your headgear. So it is very important, and people like it when you try to emulate their culture, but in an appropriate way. So when you do the inappropriate stuff, that is when it becomes offensive, and that is when people are like, oh my God, I'm coming from you, like you're going for the penguins in Madagascar, or you're going for the penguins in you know, Antarctica. Oh my God, sometimes I just like them. I don't call it Antarctica, right? But anyway, it's my tongue. But yeah, you know, obviously, my accent a lot of the time, you know, play a huge factor, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, so one question I do ask people though, you know, when it comes to trying to embody another person's culture, attire. So I'm like, I'm always asking this question, what is your intent? You know what I mean? Why are you trying to embody this culture? Why are you trying to wear this? Are you like, you know, are you wearing the clothes, you know, or the traditional attire as a kind gesture to support and appreciate the indigenous people? If that is your goal, that is totally fine. That is good. And, you know, people really like it. People really appreciate you. Or are you, you know, just trying to like poke fun on, you know, the indigenous people? So you have to think about that. So in general, when you are dressing up for Halloween, you know, or when you are dressing up for like summer or winter, whatever, and you're trying to embody a particular, you know, bodysuit or fur coat or whatever it is that you want to wear, that you know specifically it's actually belong to like a different cultural background, are you trying to emulate it? I just really want you to like search yourself, you know, ask yourself that question. What is my intent, you know, in wearing this club? Am I trying to support, or I'm just trying to like poke fun on these indigenous people? Well, so if you have a good intent, that is amazing, you know. However, if you're trying to like convey a wrong statement deliberately, please, darling, refrain from that heel intention. It will do you no good at all. Because you know what? Respect is reciprocal. In the next part of the series, we shall look at the African continent and the influence it had on the United States of America. I just want to say, you know, special thanks to all of you beautiful listeners out there, Anchor FM, for creating this platform for people like me and for other people that are trying to venture into podcasting. John Lackey, my wonderful friend, for his great ideas and contribution. You know, Sean Barkley, thank you. All of my friends, all my family, all of you wonderful people out there, thank you so much. And most notably, I cannot forget this. Thank you so much, you know, for your immense contributions. And a big thank you to the National Museum of American Indians, Washington, D.C. Thank you so much, guys, for patiently listening to this podcast. If you like what you've heard, please support this podcast by using the donation link below. Share your thoughts by visiting our website, www.aimaimageconsulting.com. It's spelled www.aimaimageconsulting.com. Also via email at kelly@aimaimageconsulting.com. Thank you so much. Your feedback is always appreciated, and I want to know how I can serve you better. Stay warm this season, and happy holidays.